Have you ever heard anyone laugh in their sleep? It's an amazing sound. It's a perfect sound. Many times I've heard my children laugh in their sleep. Sometimes I even wake myself up laughing, which is better than waking myself up by snoring. Once when my son was a young teen and going through a very difficult time in his life, I passed his room at night and heard him laugh in his sleep. I paused by the door, listening. It made me laugh too. It was wonderful to know that inside of him, even with the challenges he was facing, there was still that capacity to laugh over which he had no actual control. Laughter. It's the capacity for joy. It's a basic human instinct. Like the toddler with the ball, laughing. When people talk about what it means to be human, we often point to empathy or compassion or love. Sometimes we identify the ability to mourn, to feel sorrow. But joy is also part of what it means to be human. And we're beginning even to recognize that it's not just human beings, but that many other creatures feel these emotions, dogs and apes, dolphins and whales. But this morning, humanity is a big enough topic for me. I'm not supposed to be preaching today. A few months ago, soon after we decided that our worship theme for October would be healing, our worship team leader, Bill Hurley, asked if he could preach on October 2nd, today. Bill knew that he had cancer. He wanted to talk about resilience, the capacity of the human spirit to heal its own sorrow, the human ability to persist and flourish in the face of pain and loss. Bill's memorial service was yesterday. It was hard to contemplate leading this service without Bill. And it was impossible to consider preaching on any topic other than resilience. Thinking of Bill, I remember Kate Braestrup. Kate is a Unitarian Universalist chaplain with the Maine Forest Wardens. And in her book, Here If You Need Me, she tells stories about her life as part of the warden service. And one story was very personal, though. She tells about driving to the hospital with her cousin George and her 10-year-old son Zach in the car. And this was an emergency, and they were actually on the phone with the 911 dispatcher as she drove them to the hospital, because George, who was supposed to be the adult, had tried to light a campfire using gasoline. And as they were driving, George said, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And 10-year-old Zach reached out his burned and blistered arm and with his burned and blistered hand touched George on the shoulder and said, "It's okay. We love you. We love you." Love. Love is at the center of it all. The center of what it is that gives us that capacity to find resilience in the face of struggle and loss. Now, as a chaplain for those who travel in the forests of Maine and for the wardens who work with them. Kate shares a journey of love and fear for the family members of people who are lost in the woods. She also shares the journey of the courageous rangers who search for the lost. Kate tells the story of a warden named Frank who had found a little girl with red mittens who had fallen through the ice. Frank was the one who pulled her out of the freezing water. He cradled her tenderly in his arms. He tried to revive her, but she didn't make it. From any perspective, this loss is dreadful, unbearable. For Frank, still soaked with icy water and shaking in his misery, he could think only of his two granddaughters who were about the same age as the little girl he'd pulled from the icy river. And he says, "I don't know what I'd do. If one of my girlies was killed, I don't think I could stand it." How does anyone stand it? How can anyone heal after such a loss? Where do we tether ourselves in a universe that can shake the very ground from under our feet? Frank took the child out from under the ice with his own hands and tried to give her his breath, and his heart broke when he could not save her life. The heart breaks. That night, Frank went home to his granddaughters and he held them close. He hugged them and he told them how much he loved them. Love. Love, that's the tether. When the heart breaks, continue loving. In all of our choices, in all of our suffering, our challenges, in all the great, seemingly insurmountable problems of the world, in all of the sorrow and loss, and with all the people who hate. For us, love is the tether. Frank and people like him, people like you, are love bringing itself to the world. We co-create the universe daily. When we offer in love our best efforts to make a difference, we do make a difference. And we heal ourselves. Now, whenever I think about healing, I think of Bill Hurley. Bill had hoped to share with you his understanding of resilience, and specifically the inspiration he found in the story of Jim Stockton, who was a prisoner of war for many years in Vietnam. Stockton identified resilience as central to his survival through those years of imprisonment. Stockton thought that his own resilience was grounded in the faith that he would prevail in the end and be better for it. Prevail in the end and be better for it. But Stockton did add a caution, and it's printed at the top of your order of service. These are the words that Bill Hurley thought were especially important to anyone experiencing struggle and seeking resistance. You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. Bill said that these words resonated with his own struggle with cancer. He'd faced the most brutal facts of his reality. He knew the cancer would kill him, but he'd figured out that it could never kill his spirit. Cancer, Bill told me, cancer is a gift. Bill didn't want his obituary to say that he'd finally lost his struggle with cancer because he had already won. Bill said, "I won. I didn't let this death sentence drain away my love of life. Instead, it motivated me to cherish every moment." But it's not as if Bill never felt fear or loss. He did. And with resilience, he turned his awareness of fear, his awareness of the impending loss, into a gift. Here's a little poem he wrote in his journal. "Like the butterfly that lands in my hand, I am blessed with its presence, but also when I try to grasp it, it flies away. I'm gifted with a beautiful life, yet in my struggle for health, I grow despondent when I'm reminded that my life is transient. I feel out of control. Yet when I remember the labyrinth, I feel at peace and enjoy the butterfly that's in my hand. Each day is a new opportunity to behold, not to grasp and control, but to receive and enjoy." To receive and enjoy. Resilience is the ability to rediscover zest for life, even in the midst of trauma and loss. Resilience is the ability to tether ourselves in love, to continue caring for others, to engage with life, to find joy and celebrate it. Like that toddler at play, laughing, we can create our own joy no matter what. Consider the children of Aleppo. The bombings there have made every day traumatic. Life is precarious there and fragile. We see only the dreadful photographs. They see it close up. And yet, the children there still laugh. Just a few days ago, a bombing explosion created a break in one of the water mains, and water poured out onto the dusty street. Children found this growing puddle, and they began to play in it, laughing and splashing. Resilience. We need laughter to survive and to thrive. The human capacity for joy helps us generate resilience among life's challenges. Now, it's natural to feel sad when sad things happen, to feel scared or lonely or afraid or discouraged. But if we are to develop that resilience that allows us to flourish throughout our lives, whatever may befall us, it's important to grasp each and every moment of joy that comes our way. Life is sadness. Life is joy, often both at the same time. Bill Hurley got that. He loved to laugh. And so I want to share with you one of Bill's poems this morning. And anyone who was at his memorial service yesterday has already heard this poem, but it does bear repeating. See, some of you were there. It's called Final Exit. I dreamt that I died and was cremated. My ashes were placed on the bathroom shelf in an empty Metamucil jar. I imagined that a house guest suffering from travel irregularity might look for aid and consume 2 or 3 tablespoons of me as needed. Would he note that I failed to deliver the promised citrus flavor? Or would he describe my piquant as somewhat smoky with a slight afterburn? Regardless, I would dissolve into 8 ounces of water, stirred vigorously, then pass over tongue through gullet into stomach. After 6 or 8 hours, I'd begin my colonic cleansing crusade. First passing through the small intestines, then I would polish off polyps, dive into diverticula, and increase his bulk. I would ascend, transcend, then descend. Finally, in what can only be described as a harmoniously flatulent swan song, I would make my final exit. Mother Teresa once said, "We cannot all do great things, but we can do small things with great love." It's nice to know that after I'm gone, I can still be of value to a friend by giving some temporary relief and be a small part of a bigger movement. Oh, Bill, doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel good? We can all be part of a bigger movement. It's the movement to bring love and laughter, compassion and connection to other human beings and to ourselves. To nurture our own spirits and help to heal this world. In our own lives, with the inevitable sorrow, pain and loss, in our national experience of this difficult election season, in our struggle as a nation with racial divisions, in this world, in this lifetime, despite all of it, may we tether ourselves in love. May we find resilience, and may we bring healing as we co-create this world.